Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm glad he doesn't have an NFL experience. I'm glad he hasn't learned the fear that's in this league. That's because it's tough for all our coaches. They're afraid. They go to analytics, and it gets difficult. I mean, he doesn't have all that. He doesn't have that fear, and there was no other candidate. We were fortunate that he was available, and he has tons of experience. He knows this game inside and out with relationships with coaches and players, and has been a consultant for us for several years.
We're back with more of the Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook pregame show on Sports Radio 670 The Score with Mully, Patrick Manley, and Anthony Herron. Brought to you by Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook, official sportsbook of the Chicago Bears. Download the Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook app today.
Voice of Jim Irsay. Welcome back to the pregame show. And, you know, we're not going to spend tons of time on this, but the fact of the matter is that there was another coaching change in the NFL this week, and it was a different one, because Frank Reich got fired, who is a good friend of Matt Eberflus. Eberflus, of course, came from Indianapolis and was asked about it this week, and he handled it very diplomatically, I thought. But they hired Jeff Saturday basically from the TV booth. Now, Jeff Saturday had a great career as a player. I think he was a 6-time Pro Bowler. And we were trying to put it in perspective, and we were taking calls this week and taking texts and emails and stuff from listeners. And the question was, who would the Bears have hired? Who would be like akin to this? And you know, obviously you think of Olin, but as Brad Biggs told us, they'd only offer him $15.50 an hour, so he probably wouldn't take it. But Pat, your name came up repeatedly. Honest to God, you were like one of the more popular,
of being on the radio and people hearing your voice and being around the city.
People wonder if there would be any way that you might be interested if you got that call. And I mean, you had a great career, and you know, obviously, everything about football. I wonder, first of all, what if this works? I mean,
yes.
I you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not predicting it will.
No, but it's a question yet.
What an amazing thing.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
I honestly, when I saw this, and I've known Jeff Saturday since high school. By the way, he's the Atlanta Touchdown Club Lineman of the Year runner-up back in 1993 to somebody else. I don't know who
runner
that was.
Up,
but yeah, he was the runner-up to somebody. He was the runner-up to somebody. I don't know.
So
maybe I am more qualified to be a head coach in the NFL. So
awesome.
I've known Jeff for a long time, and I saw that, and I was like, wow, this is an amazing move. And I had two different thoughts. Like, okay, you're taking over a spot from other coaches that have been trying to work their way up there. But then I was like, what if this works? What if this truly works? Does this open it up for other players to potentially become a head coach quicker? You know, they do it in baseball. They've done it in baseball, right? I was texting NBA with Spiegel, Mully. It's Larry Durker, right, for the Houston Astros came in. Aaron Boone. You have Mark Jackson. You have Steve Kerr in basketball that have done it. It's never happened in football. Obviously, somebody's stepping into this. But what if it does work? This does. It opens up an opportunity for other players who have sacrificed, you know, coaches sacrifice as well. They sacrifice time and try to work up to be a head coach, but players do as well. You know, he played a long time. He's put a lot of, you know, on the line for his body, but it will be interesting to see if it works out. It's very entertaining. It's good for us. It gives us something to talk about and watch. But if it does work, it gives opportunities for other former players to step into that role and maybe bring the teams together. Maybe that's what you need, is more of a manager, is what I think he'll be, than really a coach. He'll be a more of a manager, like a baseball manager, dealing with situational parts of the game and then working the locker room and the meetings and getting guys together. It will be interesting to see if it works. I kind of hope it does, just for that fact, and maybe other players can step in. And also, I like Jeff Saturday. He's a great guy.
Jeff Saturday, the couple of times I've interacted with him, yes, he seems like an exceptional human being. He's well-liked by everyone in all circles, as far as I could tell. He was active as a player representative, you know, within negotiations with the league office, and has done a lot of things, not only his success as a player, but just things to make benefits for players around the league better. All that being said, I just kind of think this Jim Irsay tanking is what this amounts to, in my opinion, because even beyond the Rooney Rule aspect of it, I know that right. You know, like Mike Florio was on and he was talking about that aspect of it. Yep. Maybe the league should tweak some rules in that regard. You know, that in this scenario, that doesn't concern me as much because it's not the current rule. You know, I don't know if the league revisits it, sure, but even beyond just minority coaches, but just, you know, to, you know, what Patrick was referencing there as well. There's a lot of coaches in and around the league at large, coaches right there in Indianapolis with the Colts organization that have been putting the time in with their current roster, who, you know, Jeff Saturday's been around the team, he was a consultant, but as far as just putting in the day in, day out time in the meeting rooms, on the practice field, in the games that they competed in up to this point, Jeff Saturday has been plucked from elsewhere and brought in and said, hey, lead the way here for the remainder of the season. And, you know, Jim Irsay has been in the NFL for a long time. He has won Super Bowls and won a lot of games. He's also an odd duck, as I think many of us know. But I can't imagine that he looks at this move and says that this is what gives the Indianapolis Colts the best opportunity for a strong finish to the season. I think he looks at this as saying it's an opportunity to give someone who I revere, who I'm close with, a chance to lead this franchise. He'll probably enjoy it. I may even enjoy watching him as the head coach. But it's a stretch for me mentally to think that this is what Jim Irsay thinks will actually make the Colts a much better team by the end of this year. But what he has seen work for the Colts over the years is when they get the number one pick in the draft and they take Peyton Manning or they take Andrew Luck, the future of their franchise goes up exponentially. And there's a renowned crop of quarterbacks who are anticipated to come out and be in the mix this season. So if he said, you know what, we keep doing the veteran thing in recent years and Frank hadn't been able to make that work for some reason. So you know what, man, let me go ahead and hit speed dial and get Jeff in the house. And Jeff may have some fun. He will handle things well with the media, and we will probably lose a lot of games with Jeff as the interim head coach for now. And then we'll just evaluate it and hopefully have the number one pick in the draft, or at least a very high pick in the draft, and then go out and get one of these young QBs. That to me is what this likely amounts to. It seems like a stretch to me to think Jim Irsay really thinks he's about to win some games with Jeff Saturday as his coach.
Yeah. Well, the problem is that they, you know, they fire Reich, and they had already fired Marcus Brady, who was their offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. So Saturday comes in and he offers the job reportedly to Scott Milanovich, who is their quarterbacks coach, and he turns it down. They're just going to make him the offensive coordinator, no bump in pay or anything. I don't know what the negotiation was like, but he doesn't want to do it. So they turn to a guy named Parks Frazier, who's a 30-year-old. They say he's a hell of a coach, but he's 30 and he's the assistant quarterbacks coach. So that's kind of a pretty big jump to have him now as your offensive coordinator. And I think that their defense will be fine. You know, Gus Bradley's there, and you know, John Fox is there. They've got guys that have been in the room and all the rest of it. So you would think that would be okay, but it's just going to be, you know, listen, they're playing the Raiders, right? I mean, Josh McDaniels had turned down that Indy job that got Frank Reich in there. And is Josh McDaniels, how long is he going to last? If they lose that game today, could he be the next coach fired in the NFL? And they're underachieving in Las Vegas. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
I think it's a fascinating case study of, as you say, Pat, it's been done in every sport, and the NFL is sort of the last sport to do it. You know, I get it with Jim Irsay. He is a local guy. He's from Chicago, so went to high school here, so we should cheer for him, I suppose. Local guy made good. Anthony, would you take a job like that? Would you, if someone offered you a head coaching job, would you jump at it, or would you say, oh, wait a minute?
If they offered to pay me what I make at the Score, I'd stay at the Score. If they offered to pay me what they pay NFL head coaches, I'd be out the door already. You wouldn't even have to finish the sentence. And I mean, for multiple reasons. The financial implications of it are obviously magnificent, but then it is the type of opportunity. Like, I coached the game for a number of years in arena football, and you know, I enjoy teaching the game. I enjoy coaching the game. And so if someone just wanted to pluck me out of the broadcast industry and say, hey, come be a head coach, would I leap at it? Sure. That's kind of what Jeff Saturday addressed as well. That, yeah, it's too good an opportunity to pass on. It's an organization that meant a lot to him, that he achieved such high heights with during his career. So would I take the gig? Yeah. Would I take it with my eyes open? Like, if this same scenario were what I was taking the gig in, would I recognize what it was? I think so. And I would imagine that Jim Irsay and Jeff Saturday have probably had some confidence. Like, I don't think Jim Irsay is saying, hey, Jeff, go out here and lose games on purpose. But Jeff Saturday has been around the block in this league. So I think he recognizes that he's not being placed in a strong position to lead a team that's going to have a lot of success this year. Even if he's got the potential to be an exceptional head coach, this just isn't the scenario that you have success in with guys who you've been around, a staff who you've had some periphery interaction with. But Jeff Saturday hadn't been in the meeting room with these guys on a daily basis. He hasn't been game planning for the opponents they faced up to this point in the season. He probably has relationships, I'm sure, because he's a guy who's easy to get along with. It doesn't mean he has actually been in a situation to lead them to make decisions on their behalf. He doesn't have that backlog of data for what's worked and hasn't worked in games up to this point. It's not a great situation to put him in just from a head coaching success perspective. But it doesn't matter, because if a few months from now he's not doing this anymore, he's going to go right back to ESPN, and it won't necessarily matter for Jeff Saturday. But this was a missed opportunity for perhaps some of those assistant coaches on the roster to get this opportunity to have the big whistle for whatever stretch of time it was going to be there. It's a developmental chance that they could have had that they weren't ended up, you know, that they didn't end up receiving.
Well, Anthony, you're right. And I wonder what those coaches think of him when he walks into the coaches' meeting.
Yeah.
You know, you have to win over your other coaches. You know, yes, he's
you don't want
little...
to be seen as some kind of scab, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, he shouldn't have turned this down, but it's not his fault. It shouldn't have been presented to him, in my opinion.
Right. I just want to know the respect those coaches have for him truly getting the big whistle, because that's going to be difficult, because there's got to be some guys in there like, wait, why wasn't it me? It's unfortunate Frank Reich got fired, but why wasn't it me? This guy is not, you know, he doesn't have enough experience, and it should be me. And I just think that's the hardest thing he's going to have to do. I think that.
I like the way he pushed back on it, though. He said, "I can lead men. I know. I mean, I kind of like just the general way he pushed back at how absurd it is. I'm not saying it makes it any less absurd, but you know, I think Pat, you said it. It's like he's coming in as sort of a manager, kind of the overseer of the entire thing, and I think that I'm not saying it's going to work. I mean, I'm not, I'm not crazy, but
nor
I'm fascinated by it.
I just hope it works, though, because I just think
a lot of
players that are out there, like the Olin Kreutzes, guys that have just been great leaders in the locker room, great football knowledge, they need to be, you know, back into the, maybe, I don't know, maybe that'd get them to go back to coaching, because you're right, Anthony, that money is pretty big at that high level, and you don't have to work, you know, way up with the amount of hours you put in and the lack of money at the beginning to the end, but I just hope it works. I think it'll be a great story. We've seen success in other leagues. How different is football? And we're going to find out, and Jeff Saturday's the one that's out there doing it for us.
You look at Ron Rivera, right?
Yeah.
I remember when it was Dave Wannstedt who gave Ron a job as a quality control assistant. He was working for free. Mm-hmm. He was just trying to be with an NFL team. And then he and Leslie Frazier Both from that 85, they both moved on elsewhere in order to eventually become head coaches in the NFL. It's kind of extraordinary, the bells and whistles and the things you know, I don't know. There was always an argument that the great player, like, never could become a head coach in the NBA, because if you're Michael Jordan, what's the best possible move you can make? I'm going to put me in for 5 minutes, right? It's very difficult when others can't translate their ability the way that you could to then coach them into, well, why not just take the ball, go left hand, dunk over him, and then take, you know, not everyone can do the things you did. So you've got to know about a guy who was a center in the NFL. You got to have work ethic. You got to have like hours breaking down tape. You got to understand a lot about the game, and you got to understand a lot about the locker room. So I don't think it's as insane as it appears to be on the surface of it.
I wonder if, you know, if there's an assistant already who's already turned down an opportunity to be the offensive play caller. I wonder what that indicates. It might indicate nothing other than that individual said, you know what, I don't necessarily think I'm prepared for that. I wonder if it is more indicative of paying deference to Frank Reich,
ahead of you. Yes.
The OC who was already fired as well, right, just saying, you know what, I'm not gonna sort of, you know, walk over their grave to kind of get this opportunity, because it's, you know, is this some sort of a sham activity that's going on here right now? You know, I don't know that, but that's certainly what comes to mind for me. If people, because these opportunities don't always come around. Certainly to be a head coach in the National Football League comes around infrequently. To even be a play caller in the National Football League, those opportunities come around infrequently. So if you have assistant coaches, and in this case, an assistant coach singular, who turned down that opportunity, it does feel like there's likely some deference being paid to the individuals who were fired, multiple individuals who were passed over and or fired to get to this point. And, you know, just to the point Patrick's making, to that question of whether or not they have and will show a level of respect to Jeff Saturday. I mean, Jeff Saturday's the type of guy, he's going to earn respect. He's just that personality, and he's not going to be someone who comes in and is not well-liked. And again, he's got relationships with these individuals also, but it is different when now you're making decisions that will win and lose games for them, decisions that are happening and playing out on the practice field and in the meeting room on a daily basis. If you got folks who are turning down the opportunity to have a bigger role within, you know, the decision-making process of games and in calling the plays, you know, I don't take that as a positive sign. It certainly feels like more of a negative sign to me for just how the staff at large may be viewing what's taking place there.
I always felt, Pat, maybe I'm wrong about this, that the Bears ex-player was this resource that the team never tapped into correctly. That they never seemed, I mean, they were concerned about having relationships look right or whatever, but you never got that sense that they were out trying to actively see what they could do. You know, you look at the White Sox, for instance. Maybe that is an extreme the other way, where, you know, anybody that had a cup of coffee in the organization seems to be eligible for a job within it. But I always felt that there were so many smart, good football people that went through the Chicago Bears as players, and why did they never figure out a way to tap into it? Right back to like Mike Singletary calling the organization, hey, I want to get into coaching. You know, what do you have for me? Oh, well, you know, we're hiring someone else. We couldn't possibly. You find a spot for guys like that in your organization.
Yeah, I think you do. And also what you hear is Jim Irsay would call Jeff Saturday to kind of get, you know, his thoughts on the O-line, how the team is doing. And what he's doing, in my opinion, he's educating himself about his own team, going outside and getting other information from a player that's been in that building. And the McCaskies have not done that, to my regard, that I know of. And to me, that's a missed opportunity just to educate yourself more about football, to understand, you know, what is wrong with the O-line. Yeah, you can go ask the O-line coach, but he's not going to give you the 100% answer because he's in charge of the O-line. He doesn't want to say that my guys are underperforming because that's bad on him. So I just wish they would go out there, not just hire guys, but talk to them, educate yourself more about football. And I don't think they've done that. And that's maybe one of the reasons why they've made some bad decisions in the past, that they weren't educated enough about who to hire, what to do, and what direction they should go in. I wouldn't say I was shocked to hear that Jim Irsay reaches out to former players to talk to them, but that's the way I think it should be. So you just educate yourself more about your decisions you have to make.
And once you make the hire, and my biggest critique of the Bears has been, what infrastructure are you putting in place for their success, for their growth? Like, right. You know, when Matt Nagy got here, it was shot out of a cannon in year one, and the team basically got worse every year after that. It's not because the roster definitively got worse every year after that, but not only the development of the players that we're talking about, but is there an infrastructure within the organization to develop your coaches also? And so to hear at least the current regime talking development as much as they have, right, the front office and the coaching staff, that matters. But I think that message needs to come down from ownership, that you're putting a system in place, you're putting infrastructure in place for people to get better while they're doing these jobs for you.
You know, we've talked about this before, and it's not a happy thought, but many times when the Bears hit success, you think, wow, like they really stumbled into that one. Wow, look what they did. Look how this worked out. But the sustainability has been the problem. And you know, when the franchise has been really good, have they made the right decisions? Have they managed to stay good? And you can argue about the quarterback position and how important that is, but it is just the reality of this franchise that, you know, I guess you'd go back to the 40s to find really sustainable, maybe the 80s, a sustainable, serious run. Even with you guys, Pat, it didn't last as long as it should have, in my opinion.
Yeah, and it was up and down, too. There were some years we were great, and then there were some years we were down. And I look back at, you know, just what we went through is, was it the right thing to do to get rid of Jerry Angelo and bring in Phil Emery? And then Lovey's gone at 10-6. You know, was that the right decision? I mean, obviously it wasn't, because it didn't go the right way, and I didn't want that to happen. But they've continued to make bad decisions. And I've just always said, you know, people asked about Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus, what's your thoughts? My fingers are crossed. I just hope it works out. That's all I've got right now, because the past has shown it has not worked out. You'll get a little run early, and then it goes away.
All right, well, we got a game today. Let's get into that. We're going to talk about the wide receiver position. Chase Claypool got a huge ovation when he caught a one-yard pass. Boy, imagine what will happen if he gets a touchdown today. We'll discuss his usage, what we expect to see from him. Byron Pringle back, what does that mean? And all of it centers around the quarterback, and we'll come back and discuss that next. It's the pregame show on The Score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, he's getting more comfortable. We're expanding the package for him. He's doing a lot of different things for us in there, different spots, different locations. So I think it's healthy. It's growing at the right pace, and we're excited to see where it's going to go.
It's the pregame show on The Score, and that is the voice of Matt Eberflus, and he's talking about the recently acquired Chase Claypool, the Bears' new receiver who had 26 plays. In his debut last week, the Bears held the ball for about 70 plays, I believe, so that would be roughly 37% of the plays that he played. And the talk this week was that you could double up that amount, that he may, now that he's been here a week, oh, now he knows everything. No, now he's working hard. But there is a vacuum, and you know, whether people want to hear it or not, I know everyone loves Darnell Mooney, but Chase Claypool has had the better career, is the higher drafted player, is a guy that that has done very well for himself. That's not taking a shot at Mooney, because I think he's a good player and a big part of it, but they have different skill sets, and maybe we see more Chase Claypool out there. And then the question becomes, who you choosing after that, right? Seems like they have a decision to make between Bayless Jones Jr. and Dante Pettis, because they need a return guy. And I don't know, the fact that they sat down Jones last week could indicate that he might be just, you don't really need a gadget guy, you need a receiver. So N'Keal Harry is back. We know Byron Pringle will be back this week. We know Equanimeous St. Brown is going against his brother. He's got a $1,000 bet over which of the two of them are with a team with a better record. Maybe he wins that bet if he sits. Oh, man, that was mean. That was just mean. But they've got some choices to make now that they are, and I can't believe I'm going to say it, spoiled for choice at wide receiver.
Oh, boy.
And spoiled for lack of talent of choice. I'll say it. Because they are. I mean, it's nothing against them, guys. And I say it all the time. They're NFLers. That's what they are. They're not difference makers. Maybe Chase Claypool can become that guy, and we hope he can. But everybody else there, they're just NFLers. They're good football players. That you have to have those guys on your roster, but you're just picking between NFLers. And I want to go back to the Bayless Jones thing, because some of the quotes, I think it was Luke Getsy, I forgot who talked about him. It just sounds like this kid right now is not doing his job in practice. He doesn't know where to line up. He doesn't know the motions, kind of what they were talking about. And you just got, like I always talk about, you got to learn how to be a pro. That's the first thing you can control, is your practice habits, knowing the playbook, knowing where to be. And if you can't do that, you're not going to see the field. I don't care how dynamic you are, because you can't put them out there. So it's unfortunate to hear that about a rookie who's, what, 25 years old, who's played for 6 years in college. You think he would know how to practice correctly and know his playbook. And it's, you know, it's been long enough now that he should know his plays and be able to learn how to practice like a pro.
I do think it's important that Bayless Jones, he was injured for a lot of the preseason. Now we're deep into the year at this point, so I agree. Mm-hmm. He should know it by now, but he hasn't had the same amount of like on task preparation as some of the other guys have, because he was injured for so much of the preseason phase. And now in the regular season, now you're in the midst of kind of week by week game planning. And, you know, different than Chase Claypool. Chase Claypool is a guy who's necessary in your offense, because he's the most gifted receiver. You sign Claypool, now he's the most gifted playmaker that you have access to on offense. So if he only knows 10 plays, then all right, we'll run those 10 plays three times and get you close to 30 snaps, and we'll find a way to get you involved in the offense, because you're Hercules and, you know, you're Gulliver. Everybody else out here is Lilliputian, so we're just going to figure out how to really get you in the mix here. That's not the role Bayless Jones occupies. He doesn't have that kind of status. He doesn't have those kind of skills, but it would be different if he had been showing out in special teams. He obviously has not, as we've been talking about up to this point. My thought was, even in taking him off of the punt return team and kick return duties, that because the Bears hadn't found other true playmakers on offense, qualifying him as a gadget guy, he's one of the players. Bayless Jones is one of the few guys on this roster where, with the ball in his hands, you see electricity when it's there. Like, you got Justin Fields, and then like Bayless Jones. He's really the only other person where, when he gets the rock, he looks like he can make one guy miss and go the distance.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily have to have that to have a high-powered offense in football, but it's nice to have. It's nice if your quarterback isn't the only one who has that. Even with the speed and elusiveness that Darnell Mooney has, you even see the difference where they throw the same exact pass to Darnell Mooney that they threw to Chase Claypool. Like, on the snap where Justin Fields, it was directly after the Chase Claypool drop in last week's game. They came back on the next play, and Justin Fields, you know, manipulating traffic pre-snap, moving guys around, and he, you know, he saw the off coverage from the corner and just told Chase Claypool, just widen out a little bit. Get outside the numbers, and he motioned one guy around. He saw that they were in man. He saw the corner off of Chase Claypool, widened him out a little bit, and then just threw him a quick hitch route, and Chase Claypool makes a guy miss one-on-one in space and then goes and picks up 9 yards. It's just an easy 9 yards that you get from that. Darnell Mooney very frequently gets tackled one-on-one. He's just easy to bring down, but he's a very diminutive person in his stature, so that matters. And Velus Jones can access that. The problem is he doesn't catch the ball. Now, does this mean he'll never catch the ball? No. Not knowing the playbook is a big issue, but this Luke Getsy offense is a very intricate offense for wide receivers. So I haven't given up on the notion that he can and will eventually learn the playbook. But even once he knows it, he's got to catch the rock.
All right, breaking news on the score brought to you by the Beat the Streak podcast. Get an inside edge on how you can win the big prize every day at Beat the Streak podcast. And we have breaking news, and that's the inactives. Velus Jones Jr. inactive yet again, two games running. N'Keal Harry inactive. So that means St. Brown is up. Here's the bad news. Tevin Jenkins inactive. I guess that means Schofield starts at guard. Al-Kadeen Muhammad inactive. That's a guy that you were hoping would be a pass rusher, and I know they activated a pass rusher, Jerry Green, on Friday, so not a total stunner on Al-Kadeen Muhammad. So Jenkins out, Muhammad's out, Kendall Vildor with the sprained ankle is out, and then Harrison Hand and Jatari Carter are the other two inactive. So interesting thing there. You lose, you know, you're going to have yet another a group of starters on the offensive line, and lo and behold, we've got the answer to the wide receiver question.
Yeah, what I see there is you lose three starters, yes, and we already know this Bears team kind of lacks talent. Well, you lose those three guys, who's coming in behind them? How bad are they going to be, or how poor of a player are they? So this just, you know, you never want to see, it's that time of year, right? It's, you're going to have injuries like this, you're going to have starters out, but when you're losing a player who's an okay player, what are you going to next? You know, how bad is that player, and how bad can that hurt this team? And especially defense with a pass rusher and a cornerback going out, because that's going to hurt them even more.
You would prefer, like, at least the situation at wide receiver is guys as healthy scratches, because you feel like you're now acquiring more talent, and talent is getting healthy, that gives you more competitive depth. And that's a term I go back to a lot with this team. When you have competitive depth at a spot, then in theory, it should rise all boats there. When you can say, hey, look, Chase Claypool's here. He's taking a spot because look at him go. And a lot of you can't do that. So what's your role in this offense? And now Byron Pringle is healthy. If he's been impressive on the practice field or whatever level of pressure that puts on the rest of the wide receivers to know the playbook, like we're talking about with Velus Jones, if that's a part of the issue, or to catch the ball cleanly, as we've seen a variety of receivers have issues with.
I just want people to catch the ball.
That'd be a big deal.
That's a low bar.
It's very low bar.
Catch the rock. That'll help. It'll help the quarterback. It'll help the whole team. On the offensive line, though, a different deal. You are getting more competitive depth on the O-line, but having guys missing time with injury, then, you know, it's not necessarily enhancing, you know, the level of competition you have in the room, because Lucas Patrick just can't compete right now. Tevin Jenkins just can't compete right now. But hopefully, as you at least get all these O-linemen healthy, then your competitive depth on the O-line ends up raising the level of performance for everybody in that room as well.
But this is the NFL. I mean, you know, very rarely are you going to get your top five offensive linemen getting through the entire year without missing a game or two. I mean, it's, you know, there's so many injuries in the NFL, and that's the reality of trying to rebuild as opposed to other sports. It's, you know, you just don't know how severe the injuries are going to be, how hard they're going to hit you, what's going to happen to your team as that happens. I mean, I think we've seen them be able to recover a lot on the offensive line, but a lot of that too is you got a quarterback that is dynamic and can protect himself with his legs.
The question I have too, I was just thinking of this, of the right guard position. Could they move Larry Borum down to right guard?
That's a good question.
Because you want the kid to play. You want to develop him. Maybe you're not happy with his play at tackle. Yeah. Maybe now you can find out if he's a guard or not for the next couple of weeks if Tevin Jenkins is out.
I said Schofield because that's how it's listed on the depth chart, but you're absolutely right. It's not like he's got a stranglehold on the on the starting job.
No.
Right. When the last time when Tevin Jenkins left the lineup previously, it was Schofield who got in the game for him, right? So, I mean, that potential is certainly there. We were talking about the name Alex Leatherwood last week also. Mm-hmm. As a guy who's a former first-round pick with a lot of physical traits to play up front. Would they play him at tackle? Would they play him at guard? Which spot is more likely? But, again, going back to that issue of competitive depth, because right now, you know, Riley Reiff being in at right tackle, being able to perform well there is a part of what's holding Larry Borum out of the lineup. If whether they move Borum to guard or not would obviously be up to them. But, you know, if Tevin Jenkins missed a little time with an injury and he, whether it's at, you know, continuing at right guard and you got a healthy Cody White here, obviously he's going to lock down left guard. But to have multiple players who seem capable of playing quality football, playing winning football for you is the type of thing that you want everyone to always feel like they have to perform at the highest level they can to keep their job. That's just kind of how, you know, your quarterback, you don't want looking over his shoulder, especially with the youth on this team. But other than that, you want everybody feeling like, all right, if I'm not in there doing my thing, somebody else can take the gig and do it well.
All right, Mark Rohde, let's hope he's got warm shoes on as opposed to the rained ones. He must have the gear, right? We'll talk to him next. We'll go get Grody's take on everything that's happening, and we'll expand upon these issues. It is the pregame show on The Score.
So the thing I'm kind of interested in is your brother and the bet that will be going down. Is there a bet that you'll be having with your brother for this game?
Not for the game, no, but we have for the season. Who's going to have a better season? You know, the Bears or the Lions. So we have that going on, but that's it. That's about it.
Okay, so what is the bet? Is it something you could reveal?
It's $1,000.
Oh, $1,000. Yeah, okay, yeah. All right. That's not messing around.
Yeah. We're leading right now.
No thanks to you, sir. I'm sorry.
Ouch.
Can't
help
me.
Tell me how you really feel.
I apologize. It's the pregame show.
But it's the truth.
It was pretty ugly last week. That's all I'm saying. But you know what's not ugly? The beauty of one Mark Rohde. He is a handsome man, and what a joy. What a delight to have him join us now on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sportsbook. Grody time!
What's going on, guys? It's funny that you played that Equanimeous St. Brown cut right there, because I was just talking with another reporter as we were looking at the inactives, and we do find that Equanimeous St. Brown is good to go. And the only reason I bring that up is because you have N'Keal Harry down as an inactive. A little bit surprising to me. I guess I'm less surprised this week that Valus Jones Jr. is inactive again today. Byron Pringle is back today, so they'll have a plan for him. That's what kind of stands out to me so far here today. Also, Tevin Jenkins inactive, and he looked like he was going to be good to go at the end of the week, the practice week, and then saw him today, said he was a game time decision, and the decision is that his hip is not good to go. So I would expect that Michael Schofield will probably slide in there in his spot at guard, and that's kind of where we stand right now.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask you about that. I mentioned maybe Larry Borum sliding in over there, and then Anthony brought up Alex Leatherwood on the roster as well. So you think it's going to be Schofield at right guard then?
Well, I think that's they seem to have been comfortable with him there. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously he started some there, so that's just my gut. I don't have any extra information on that. The only thing that I was told was that, and you know, this is an interesting discussion point too, is that Riley Reiff does continue to be the right tackle, the space once occupied by Larry Borum. So I don't know what that means exactly for the future of Larry Borum, if they're giving him the Valus Jones Jr. treatment, where, yeah, you're part of our future, but we're going to need you to take a back seat for a little while just because, and let's face it, I mean, the offense has been rolling with Reiff at right tackle. I don't know if it's because of him, but why mess with a good thing, I suppose.
Well, about Riley Reiff, is he playing because he's not as injured as he was earlier in the season? Or just how did this, you know, how did he continue to have this spot when Larry Borum, you know, was your starting tackle and then all of a sudden he gets injured.
Yeah, I don't know for sure. I've tried to get the answer to this question, and I have failed to get a good answer.
Do your job.
I've definitely – yeah, no, I have asked kidding. About everybody I can. Do your job. Oh, man. We got Patrick Manley Thibodeau in there today. I didn't realize that. Why did Studs not prepare me for this? This is ridiculous. But I think that my guess is that I don't know if Riley Reiff was out of shape or if he wasn't ready to go. My guess is that on a young, developing team, and, you know, they weren't trying to hide that from anybody, why not go with the young guy? Why not go with the guy that's in his second year in the NFL? Wait, third year? Second year? Playing right tackle, as opposed to the guy who's in his 11th year, just to give it a shot. So I even have said this on record, going back to the beginning of the season, they probably would have been better off with Riley Reiff all along to have that veteran presence. But with this roster and with this team and the lack of expectations, why not see what you have in Larry Borum? And it's still possible that he is the future there, but it's obviously taken a setback here.
What do we interpret from Al-Qadim Muhammad not being up for the game here?
Yeah, Al-Qadim Muhammad, that's an interesting one too. I mean, he hasn't stood out this year. I mean, that's for sure in terms of making splash plays. And look, let's face it, guys. Something needs to change on the defense. Something needs to get a lot better with these guys out here, because it's, you know, they're allowing 40 points a game over the last three, and it's getting to that point where it's, you know, a team that is coached and as the head man, as a defensive guy, and Matt Eberflus and his guy Alan Williams. I just think that even though Eberflus is not calling anybody out, he remained calm about the defense. I think that behind the scenes, there's probably a lot of what is going on with this defense. I know that the personnel is not great. It's obvious, you know, with the loss of Roquan Smith and Robert Quinn, that things like this might happen in terms of a decrease. But they can't be giving up 40 points a game, and something had to change. And I guess that might be it for now.
I'm curious. What can you tell us about Jerry Green? He was activated. I haven't even been able to get to the Google machine on him. Have you seen him, or did you see him earlier? What can you tell us about him?
I can tell you very little. I mean, it's interesting. Some of the guys.
Do your job.
Man, I feel really good that Olin's not here this week. I got to tell you.
I was taking his role right now. That's what I was doing.
he'd be crushing me, man. No, there's guys that are popping off. there are guys' names that we're starting to see pop up, like Green, and even guys that are on the active roster, like defensive back Harrison Hand and one of their rookie offensive line, Harrison Hand. I can tell you about Harrison Hand.
Jatari
Carter, who is one of the draft picks. Yeah, yeah, Harry. Yeah, Harry too.
Harry Hand.
Oh, man. Yes, Mr. Hand. He is not available today. But, all these names are popping up. I got a feeling that this is kind of going to be the way the season is going forward. We're going to start to see names pop up like that we're all going to have to go to the Google machine for and say, oh, that guy, I've seen that guy all year. I didn't realize he was actually going to play this year.
Hey, Brody, there's not a lot of opponents the Bears are going to face this season where it's viewed as they have personnel that's on par with, maybe even a personnel advantage, but obviously the Lions showing up at Soldier Field. This is one of those squads. Is this another game where the results of the quarterback, the results of the offense will outweigh the Bears' win-loss result, or is this a game we're going in, this should be looked at and saying that this is a game the Bears should win?
I think it's the latter. I think this is a game the Bears should win. I mean, and there's not a lot of those on the schedule going forward where you're like, oh yeah, you absolutely have to win at home against the bad Detroit Lions. I know they beat Green Bay last week, but and they're gonna be Dan Campbell scrappy, of course, but I think that, yeah, this is a game where I think that considering Detroit's defense, I think Luke Getsy can do some more things. I mean, I know a lot of people are expecting or hoping for the next step out of Justin Fields, and that would be maybe throwing the ball more, maybe getting a 200-yard game or, you know, even more, something like that. I think that this is the defense that you could probably attempt to do some things like that against. And, it seems like there's a pattern through the years, too, and it has nothing to do with this team. But, you know, going back to Jay Cutler and Mitch Trubisky and now Justin Fields, it just feels like – I remember with Jay Cutler back in the day, he always had some of his best games against Detroit, and it was the same thing with Mitch Trubisky, and we'll see how Fields handles it today out here against a pretty rickety Detroit defense.
Brody, you talk about the Bears' attitude and how they feel. I mean, you've covered teams that have had losses in their weeks. You know, it just feels different at Hallis Hall, right? Is there a different feeling now, even though they're losing? Does it feel a little different with these guys when you're up there talking to them?
Yeah, I think that the locker room, honestly, is about as positive and bouncy as it has been. And I think that some of that is that these guys know there's more guys in that locker room, like some of the unknowns that we've been talking about, that are starting to get more opportunities. It does seem to be a locker room that does get along extraordinarily well. And I know that, like, through the years, we have all at some point in time, in teams that we've all covered or been on, we've talked about bad locker rooms, yeah, and bad karma and all that stuff. I will say, for whatever it's worth, and I always put that in, that disclaimer in there, it's a very good locker room. It's a very good locker room in terms of their presence. They all seem to get along. You know, there's not like seven or eight guys just hanging out. It seems like it's a full locker room whenever we are in there. So, and we've talked about this before too. There's just too many guys that are trying out for their future, mm-hmm, or for this Bears team in the future, that you really, there's no time to hang your heads or, you know, avoid the media or do any and pull any of that sort of trickery.
Well, how much of that credit should go to Matt Eberflus and getting the message across and keeping these guys together?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we talked to Eddie Jackson about that, and Eddie is a guy who, quite honestly, was a little harder to get through to over the last few years from a media standpoint, like didn't really want to talk as much, and it probably had something to do with all the losing and the troubles that he had in his own personal game. But he's front and center and ready to raise his hand and give the green light for Matt Eberflus for anybody who asks about it. I think that
that's good to
hear. They appreciate him because, yeah, Eberflus is a smart, straight shooter, and I think that kind of thing sells well in a locker room. And I'll tell you, I mean, the players seem to like Matt Nagy a lot too, like always going back to the predecessor, but there was always something a little bit salesman-like about Matt Nagy. Matt Eberflus just doesn't mince his words, you know what I mean? Like, he's very, very direct. He's not going to yuck it up with these guys, but he has a very direct, simple message, scripted message, that he sticks to, and we all know about that, the hits principle.
Mark, you all prepared for the weather? Are you ready to freeze out there?
I feel like in my fifth year of doing this, I've got the proper footwear. I've got my big, massive coat that my mom bought me, because, you know, she didn't trust that I would, you know, buy a nice winter coat doing a sideline job. I've got a sick hat on, so I feel really good about myself right now. Plus, the heaters are blasting up over on the sideline. I've got extra gloves.
Yeah, I asked you a few years ago, Brody.
Okay,
I asked you a few years ago, though. I was telling you, make sure you saddle up next to the specialist, because they're always next to the heater, and once you get in with them, they'll let you get some of that free heat over there.
Oh, dude, I've been taking that advice since you told me, man. I mean, I don't want that made public, though. I mean, I don't want to have people to know when I'm sneaking around down here. By the way, one thing to keep an eye on, too, guys, is Jalen Johnson. He, you know, he's active today, but he did tell me, right, that, you know, he's down as an oblique injury, but he said that's his ribs. So, something to watch out for.
Shoot,
and even last week, watching him on the sidelines, he kept holding his side after plays. So, you know, hopefully, I mean, because they're already down Kendall Vildor, you know, keep an eye on Jalen Johnson and hope that he stays healthy for this game.
Great stuff, Mark. Thank you.
Always a pleasure, guys. Talk to you soon.
See you, Mark. Do your job.
That's our guy, the hardworking Mark Grody. Work harder. All right, we've got to talk about the changes. And yeah, I want to ask you about a potential change, Patrick, on special teams. We'll do that when we come back. It is the pregame show. You're listening to Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.